Okay, back with part two of Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Maid Russell. We were interrupted in the middle of everything you always wanted to know about secrets, but were unable to ask, or able to ask and unable to get answers to.
Well, we're giving a list of subjects that should be listed for people to become familiar with in order to understand the past political assassinations or what's happening in America. There are too many secrets. There's hearings that are locked up, like the inquest of Ted Kennedy and Mary Jo Kopechne. Everything in Washington, the Watergate thing, now is locked up secret. Judge Ritchie said he wouldn't do it. The people have the right to know. And yet, every question that's asked these people is secret. And even if they're purging themselves of secret, we don't know what they're saying, and nothing is available. And in a society where a democracy is to exist, you have to have the truth, and we're getting less truth all the time. One of the things I'd like to know is Project Paperclip. That was a secret code name.
Project what?
Paperclip.
We've talked about it before, but it's somehow escaped me.
Well, it's a book that names, it brings up the subject of about 560 Nazis that came over here after World War II and were located in universities and places of education and scientific labs and scientists and aerospace. And two of the most famous members of Project Paperclip were Wernher von Braun of the Space Agency and Walter Dornberger. Well, both of them, by anybody's language, would say they were war criminals. They worked at rocket factories where bones were piled up, and they should have been considered war criminals because they were geniuses of a rocket kind. They were allowed to be useful to the United States to help build the atomic bomb and weapons. But there's an indication that Dornberger, who from the Fort Worth area, designs, he's the head of Bell Helicopter, one of the top men there. And Lee Harvey Oswald's friend, Michael Payne, works for Dornberger. There was a link of aerospace and Nazis with the political assassinations. And it would be interesting, years later, they came over in 1945, so it would be interesting now to get the name of everyone who came in on Project Paperclip, where they're located today, how much money they made in that interim, and how effectual they were teaching at the universities, these former Nazis. What they actually contributed? Are they into the lobotomy, mind control, radar, laser beams? Where are these great geniuses? You know, all these diabolical little things are taking place. Who are the men? And then,
what have you got next on your list?
Well, Tackwood. Well, Tackwood had allegations.
Explain Tackwood. There are probably some people out there
who don't know about Lewis Tackwood. Well, he's an agent provocateur that worked for the L.A. Police Department for 9 years and made very serious allegations about justice in the state of California, and a national group from Washington to California that would take over this government, similar to 7 days in May, overthrow this government, and then kill Nixon. And Tackwood has been very important in the Watergate episode because his contact man, he said it was Mr. White, and that's the name that Howard Hunt uses, and another contact man was Mr. Martin, who's James McCord, who was arrested at the Watergate. And I think Tackwood had a press conference in October 71 and made about 10 very serious allegations about the shootout at Marin County where the judge was killed, and then the killing of George Jackson and Jonathan Jackson. And nobody has checked out his allegations of a serious nature. No one in the Justice Department, no private investigators. The little bit that people have gone into as private researchers turns out to be accurate. But it's hard to get people in public office to even touch this stuff, and yet it affects all of our lives. If the criminal conspiracy section of the Justice Department plans conspiracies, which is what I maintain they do, and he worked for them when they did it, these people should be removed from office. There isn't any great mystery or mystique about all this. You know, people think if everybody's corrupt, how do you find truth? There's a lot of good people that would work in the Justice Department, or lawyers, or policemen. Not everyone is a conspirator. You know, there's a lot of good people that could do the job, you know, and if we rooted out the ones that are making the trouble. I don't think it's that complicated.
And your last on the list of secrets.
Patrick Gray.
Patrick Gray III.
He hasn't, a lot of people, this is one of the things I thought of for a boycott, that people should insist that his credentials be presented to the American people, since he was appointed temporary head of the FBI. We've had the shooting of Brammer, which is filled of Wallace, and the arrest of Brammer, which is filled of conspiracy evidence that there were two gunmen. It just reeks of a crossfire. He's not investigating the Watergate Hotel. He gave orders in Miami that the FBI weren't to look into anything unless he told them. And that's the way he's conducting his investigation. The quotation of Frank Mankiewicz last week, the Justice Department investigating the Watergate is like a fox taking care of the chicken house. And that's, they are stopping anybody from looking around for information. And a man like that is famous for ending cases. He doesn't start them. He puts the lid on them.
With all of that whole list of things that young people should demand to find out about, secrets that they should get details on, it's a long list, covers a wide range of subjects. Isn't there something that should be done first, some priority, something to concentrate on?
Well, what I have here is like seven subjects: the $10 million fund, the Tyrol Club, the Lincoln Club. A paragraph, if you mimeographed a sheet, a paragraph would explain why you want the names, what you want. And
A paragraph to who? Who do you write?
Well, to the different students. Get out a sheet or a flyer to the different students to ask for information on these particular things for various reasons, which are the following, and just list 1, 2, 3, and 4, just to let the merchants or the people in your hometown know that the system doesn't work up above and that everyone at each level in your own hometown maybe should get working on this and demand answers in the East instead of letting them cover them up. Every time something comes that they cover up, you should counteract with a response, "I don't settle for that." There's a question of Patrick Gray being appointed the head of the Justice Department and a conservative group in Los Angeles. This is the more far right wing.
The head of the Justice Department or the FBI?
Of the FBI. Well, he's in the Justice Department now, and they said a conservative grassroots Republican organization's board of directors called for appointment of a veteran agent to head the FBI rather than the political crony of Richard Nixon. The directors of the group, the United Republicans of California, disapprove of L. Patrick Gray as FBI director. He has never served in the FBI. He has been a personal friend of Nixon's for 25 years. And they were very critical of a political man in the FBI. They said that they should choose someone who's been there at least 12 years, free of the appearance of political attachment in any investigation of the Watergate Democratic bugging case. Now, this is the conservative grassroots Republican saying that Patrick Gray isn't fit to investigate the Watergate. So you're getting a cross-section of a lot of people.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect a Republican group, especially a conservative Republican group, to come out with a statement like that.
Well, that's right, but those people in the White House that were arrested and their links to the White House are only an elite small echelon. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a CIA police state, and the average Republican isn't included even in the conventions of what he wanted. It was just thrown, here's Agnew, here's Nixon, and even a man who read a prayer, he had to submit the prayer, what it said, how long it was. Everything is screened. The Republicans aren't in the scene anymore. They've been pushed aside. You know, and they feel that this man isn't doing the right thing. And I guess Patrick Gray III, okay. They feel that he should be removed because he's only serving Nixon and not the Republicans. So there's that fine line that I recognize, and I hope people can begin to recognize that all Republicans aren't Republicans, just like all Democrats aren't Democrats. There are a lot of conservative Republicans who don't like what's happening to the party. It's like that book by Whelan, Catch a Falling Flag. He was writing Nixon speeches, he was working for the Republican Party, and he realized that what Nixon was doing was pushing aside the political Republican Party and taking orders from an elite small group that had nothing to do with the American system of justice or fair play or what America is about at all. See, now, Arthur Brammer, was mentioned by Schmidt this week, the man who's running for American Independent Party. And he said that there's more than two gunmen in the shopping center. It was a crossfire and a conspiracy. There were four references to the shooting of Wallace this week. Jim Garrison came out publicly and said there was more than one gunman in the shopping center.
What's his source?
Well, you count the bullets, the Computer and Automation magazine and the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the doctor reports after Wallace was shot. Wallace was shot at gunpoint up close with a man standing in front of him shooting five bullets from a five-bullet revolver. And there were about 7 to 8 bullets in the body of Wallace, the victim, according to the doctor's reports. That can
complete
be verified.
Bullets?
Yeah, that went through him, separate ones. And then there were three other people shot at the shopping center who had surgery, and they were not photographed or behind Governor Walz in a position where it could ricochet or hit them. They were not that near to him, and it's never been explained how three bullets in them hit them, like the one guard who got surgery in the throat in the Adam's apple. It wasn't explained which bullet went through Walz that got up to an Adam's apple, because the high bullet in Walz, one lodged in his stomach, one in his spine. So you said
there were others that were referring to Bremer this week.
Yes, there was.
Besides Garrison.
Besides Garrison, Mr. Schmidt came out with...
Did you identify Schmidt?
Schmidt is the man running for the American Independent Party now that Walz said he isn't going to...
Schmidt's.
He's the John Berger who...
From Orange County.
...lost the election, the congressional election from Orange County.
Right, the President Nixon's home district.
Yeah, and so he's running on, and he claims that there are conspiracies in the United States and conspiracies that kill candidates or attempt to kill them, and that Walz was one of them, and he mentioned... This is interesting because we brought this up on a show last May after Walz was shot. He mentioned that the John Birch magazine, American Opinion, is coming out this month with a implication that the man who was killed, or the boy that was killed, a friend of Bremer's, was part of the conspiracy and was killed. He was related to the conspiracy. Remember we said there was a friend of his that died just before he had a close friend and that guy was wiped out? Well, that article will be out in about 2 weeks. And then Computer and Automation, which... did a 4-to-6-page article on the shooting of Walz. Now, I bring that out because, as I say, the Kennedy thing was 9 years ago, but this is only September, and Walz was shot in May. And the evidence of counting the bullets and the look at the trial and the lack of ballistic evidence that Bremer was doing all this is out in the open. And I keep repeating, because I wish that, you know, with school going back and the young people listening, that they grasp what I'm saying, because the Justice Department is supposed to find out who did it, and they don't do any of this. All these publications come out, and the Justice Department, Patrick Gray, don't even answer them. They don't even care how many bullets there were. They made a remark that Bremer was tried on a civil case, and he's held for federal, too. There's another charge that overlaps the shooting of Walz and shooting the other people. So the federal government announced that they may not prosecute him. They haven't decided whether they want to prosecute him or not. Now, I don't know why that is, except maybe new evidence would come up at the trial. And then they also announced that he's been moved to a separate cell, and he's isolated by himself, and they're going to send him to a hospital. And if they think he needs it, like he's supposed to be in jail 63 years, but if his mental condition is such that he stays longer, the mental hospital takes care of him even after the sentence runs out. So he's taken care of by the Army hospital. He'll never get out of that hospital, you know, how is he going to get, if some sharp lawyer came in and took this stuff, maybe they could ask for a retrial, but I'm sure there'll be legal loopholes on that. And they'll make him take a public defender. You know, when you want a new trial, a public defender is put on you sometimes, and you can't, this happened to Hugo Pinnell out here in Salinas when he had a trial for allegedly killing a guard at Soledad, and he had his own lawyer and was promised he could have his own lawyer. And when they found out that this conservative Republican person sympathetic to Hugo was going to take the trial, they hurried the trial up in Salinas and wouldn't let his own lawyer do it and gave him a public defender that didn't defend him. And he didn't get to have his own trial, and to have a new trial is expensive, and he's already marked as the man who killed the guard because the other one found him guilty. The fact that he couldn't have a trial isn't important, you know. There was an article this week about electronic surveillance under President Johnson. More Army spying, I guess you saw that, the surveillance that had gone on after Johnson was inaugurated and the extent it went. But one of the important things was the bugging of the Huey Newton trial and the surveillance of that, not only the Republican convention, but the Newton trial, because when Pinnell's trial was going on in California, and he talked about a conspiracy in the state of California that involved Evel Younger and Procuneo, the prison system, and Raymond Parr, the warden up at San Quentin, then all the lights went out in the court and everything. He was saying there's a conspiracy against him to pin this murder on him. All the lights went out in the court, remember that? And everyone left, and it was about 10:30 in the morning. They said recess till 12. And we went out, and then when we came back, the judge closed the defense, wouldn't let him speak any more about what was happening. He never took the stand again. They began summing up the case, and the trial was over. And I knew the room was bugged because he was into some really heavy stuff. And I was writing down what he said, and then I called Salinas, the power and light company, in different places, and the electricity didn't go out anywhere in Salinas except that room. So you may wonder, well, what's the value of bugging a trial? But if something gets pretty heavy or you want to control it, you can turn the trial off, recess it, give a message to the judge, and it's over. And the person never gets back on the stand to do what he wants to do. Pinnell never was able to get back then and defend himself. The effect of trials, when you talk about dialogue conspiracy, I want to get off for a minute off the Watergate. In the time of the Angela Davis trial, there was a shootout in front of the jail. A man was killed, and some inmates were involved. It was just at the time the jury was going to the trial, and it really stunk to high heaven, and they killed Jimmy Carr the same week in San Jose, and I felt that these were provocateurs trying to frighten the jury. Look at the black people when they're out. They shoot each other out. Look at the dangers we're in. Well, a man surfaced now. He's out of jail, and he surfaced this August, this last month, and he asked for asylum. He's living up in Seattle now, and he said he was paid to stage a jailbreak 100 yards from the courthouse where Angela's on trial. Did you ever see these articles, Phil? He was paid to stage it. And would you know, his lawyer is Melvin Belli, the same Warren Commission lawyer, the CIA lawyer. You know, the same team, the man who staged the jailbreak was paid, offered $1,000 to stage the jailbreak at the time of Angela Davis's trial. Now, we're talking about the criminal conspiracy section different times on our program of the police departments. Here, a man was shot in cold blood at the shootout at the time Angela Davis was on trial to get fear and hysteria into the community. They sacrifice a man and shoot him, you know, and stage this jailbreak 100 yards from the courthouse at the time that Angela was being tried, and he said it was financed. Now, he said it was financed by the communists to create an atmosphere of violence. He wants his money. He knows that the communists would do it because it would bring more repression on them to see these people shooting each other out right in front of the jury. And, of course, Leo Branton, one of her attorneys, Angela, said it's the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. I can't think of anything more prejudicial. It could possibly have helped. See, the attorney for Angela said there isn't anything more prejudicial than this kind of shooting a man on the streets when they're coming, the jury's going to work. So there were several articles this last week, but we didn't get into them, on this man who wants his money now, and he went to the office of Evel Younger, and his attorney is Belli, and he's out. He was an inmate at Santa Clara County, and they offered him all this bread, and now he's out, and he's living in Seattle, so he says, okay, give me my money. I staged the shootout. That's what agent provocateur is. You know, Phil, a lot of people, maybe I'll summarize what it is. People don't realize how conspiracies are staged.
You mentioned, excuse me, a minute ago, you called Melvin Belli the CIA attorney. Yeah. Without getting you off on a half-hour tangent, because that will run us over.
Yeah.
Why do you say Melvin Belli is a CIA attorney?
Oh, he works for the...
How do you back that up?
He works for the Kaplan Foundation. He's the attorney for Joel Kaplan, the boy that was flown out of that... jail in Mexico. Every case that he has is just about is military or prisoner.
Which jail in Mexico? You're making an
in Mexico City, an American boy who was an agent of the CIA was arrested for killing one of his co-workers, and a helicopter landed. He's the son of a very wealthy family that is the front for a CIA foundation, and a helicopter landed in the courtyard of the jail, and the boy was flown up to Sausalito, and we've never heard anything of the case since, and Belli was the attorney. When Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald, he had a lot of attorneys that would have taken the case. They were kicked out of the case. Their lives were threatened, and Belli was assigned to the case. And
by who?
It was a deal. See, Ruby worked with the syndicate and organized crime and the anti-Castro Cubans, and they also worked with the oil people in Texas. There were a group of people in Washington, Texas that didn't like John Kennedy, and each one had a piece of the action. One was involved in the assassination. Some were involved in the cover-up. Some housed the people for the getaway, the crossfire, but Belli was assigned to Jack Ruby. Now, I don't know who called him, but he came in, took care of the Ruby case, never let Ruby tell what happened. Ruby wanted to tell, and Belli said the very first part of Ruby's testimony to the Earl Warren is, I want to tell what happened in Dallas. I want the record straight. And Belli said, no, that's premeditation. You can't do that. So he tried him as having epilepsy, and that's what they gave the jury. Ruby wanted to tell. He said, because of what I did, people have power today that they never would have had. That's in volume 5 of the commission hearings. He said there'll be going to be a lot more deaths that are going to follow, and persecutions, and a lot of people will be killed because I gave these people the power, and I shouldn't have done it, and now I want to talk. Well, Belli wouldn't let him talk. That was his attorney, And Belli has been on many famous cases. He sneaks into, right now he's doing a prisoner case, which I hate to see him handle because of his past affiliations with people from the Central Intelligence Agency. He's representing the families that are suing Soledad for the killing of the Yard. I think it's trouble when he gets into these things because he is associated with CIA foundations and projects for them. And so again, the boy who helps was paid to finance or stage the breakout at the time of Angela Davis's trial appeared this week and said, well, I was, it was supposed to be staged for an effect. There was another article this week about Mary Sirhan this last week in August, and it tells about their life, and it's pretty dismal, and they're not living on much money. And Sirhan's brother, Sharif, said, this is in quotes from the Washington Post, he expects the family lives will go on being troubled until the truth comes out in the Sirhan case, and then everything will be all right. He himself cannot reveal the truth because the threats against his life, he says, but he maintains that officials could find it if they wanted to. And he's written a number of letters to officials about the case, including the president, and has received polite but noncommittal replies. Sirhan is innocent. He did not do it, Sharif said. And Sharif acknowledges that Sirhan was captured at the scene and identified by bystanders as the assassin. He refused to elaborate and said there would be new appeals on the trial, that his brother didn't do it, and when the truth comes out. They speak about this all the time, and I think they believe it, and I think they're right. This movie will be coming out. I'm anxiously awaiting it, called The Second Gun. I keep talking about it every week because some people may be listening one week and they won't pick it up, and the movie will be coming along soon, and maybe you'll remember I mentioned it. It's the Second Gun is the story of the shooting in the Ambassador Hotel, and it's newsreel shots and interviews at the Ambassador and autopsy x-rays of Robert Kennedy, and presents evidence that there could have been a gunman, and it's strongly indicated enough to make a movie that Robert Kennedy was shot from the back of the head.
You don't have an exact date on when that movie will be coming
out. No, he's having trouble getting distributors. He wants it out before the election because he wants the truth told. Don't forget, it was Richard Nixon who succeeded in that election. Robert Kennedy was not able to run against him. On the night of the primary, he did well, and he could have been a big contender had he been allowed to live. So Mr. Chirac is trying to get the movie out before the elections, but I wonder if any theater will have the nerve to do it. I hope so. It just doesn't seem that there's much courage around these days. And
maybe we just have a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You want to
summarize?
Summarizing and anything here that you want to cover that we haven't covered.
Well, let's summarize clandestine money and CIA plots with Art Buchwald. He had an article around America with GOP.
Another cartoon for the Saturday Funnies, too.
Well, he says the Republicans are having trouble explaining how they collect donations. So this is how the system works, and I'll read you part of this as much as we have time, and this is exactly how you fund assassinations. In one way or another, this is the way it goes. He says when someone gives $25,000 donation as a check to the committee for the re-election of the president, its official is sent to pick it up, and then they cash it at a bank in Houston.
Then another official picks up the cash and flies it to Portland, Maine, where it is placed in a safe in the office of a lawyer for Nixon.
That's it.
After a week, the money is taken out of the safe by another Republican official who takes it to Wall Street and purchases a cashier's check with it. A cashier's check is turned over to a public relations man who carries it to Minneapolis and hands it to a courier who flies the check to Seattle, where it is cashed and used to buy short-term municipal notes at 6%. Well, then these notes are then placed in a special bra of a Republican National Committee woman who flies to San Francisco. The Republican committee woman turns the notes over to Governor Reagan's chauffeur, who drives to Los Angeles and delivers them to John Wayne's business manager. He takes them to the First National Bank of San Clemente, where he cashes them. The cash is handed to a close friend of Maurice Stans, who buries the money in a cigar box in his backyard under an avocado tree. A week later, at midnight, Frank Sinatra and Efren Zimbalist Jr. dig up the box and fly it to Palm Springs. The cash is then converted into diamonds, which are placed in the false bottom of a suitcase, taken by Sammy Davis Jr. to a New Orleans place, and placed in an old grandfather clock on the plantation of a Democrat for Nixon. 2 weeks later, the diamonds are removed from their hiding place and converted into soybean futures.
Andreas was in the soybean business up in Minneapolis.
The soybean futures are then sold for IT&T bonds at 8%. These bonds are taken by Greyhound bus to El Paso, where they are placed in a waterproof packet and turned over to a frogman who swims the Rio Grande with them on his back. It's getting more involved as we go. Then a Mexican for Nixon on horseback picks up the packet on the other side of the river and rides to Mexico City, where the bonds are cashed for pesos. The pesos are placed in a bank. 2 weeks later, a bank in Miami sends a draft to the bank in Mexico City for $25,000. The money is cabled to Miami, where it is put into the bank account of a former CIA man. The money remains in the account until someone in Washington wires the CIA man to give the cash to a Cuban refugee. The Cuban refugee then takes the money and uses it to pay outstanding bills for the Republicans. Then Buchwald goes on to say there are probably easier ways for the Republicans to handle their financial contributions, but so far, they haven't been able to come up with any. But a Republican finance man assured us, meaning Buchwald, we're working on it.
Yeah, that's
an incredible.
Isn't that incredible?
That is not an actual account of the way the money goes. It may be, but it doesn't purport to be. Art Buchwald is known for his writing, of course, his humorous, satirical writing. But I think there's more than just, there is some biting satire in those comments by Buchwald. Those are not just idle words jotted down on paper.
Yeah, we're talking about clandestine financing. That's the way it really goes. You can't find it or trace it, you know. That's what it's all about.
It is funny, though.
Isn't it?
I missed that. I'm glad we got a chance to...
I'll copy if you want. I think it's very true that people say, there was no conspiracy to kill Robert Kennedy. Who did it? I'm supposed to produce the canceled check. You know, there's no way. Or James Ray. I've read on the program how he spent his money, the trips he went. You know, maybe we can do that again next week on how many cities he went to and where he went and resort hotels and his facelifts and his cars and his possessions and things. And it was this kind of a journey. You know, maybe we should read it next week and read about James Ray and show how money travels.
Okay, that's Dialogue Conspiracy, parts 1 and 2 for this Saturday afternoon. Our thanks to Art Buchwald for supplying the humor and the political comment all rolled into one. Dialogue Conspiracy features Mae Brussel, political research specialist, and it is pre-recorded. This has been Dialogue Conspiracy, a public affairs presentation of KLRB News. If you have questions that you want